Rob, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Okay, the second. Well, God's usually busy as usual. And once again, Hebrews. So I'm going to work with Hebrews chapter 6. Now, I wanted to do 13 to 20, and God says, once you back up about three verses, we're going to start with 10, and then we'll go to 13, because it's been on his, wants me to bring it to everybody else, so please bear with me here. Okay, chapter 6, verse 10, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Keep doing what you're doing. God loves that. He loves to see his saints at work, and we are. We have been. So keep doing. Okay, next one, 13 through 20. It's God's infallible purpose in Christ. 13, when starting with that. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men indeed swear by the greater, and the oath for a confirmation is that for them an end of all dispute. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, in which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, and become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Father, had join me in prayer. Dear Lord, we're just in awesome of your presence. Continue to help us decrease so you will increase in our lives, Father God. I know we got busy lives right now, but we still need to take time with you. So we look to you for everything we say and we do. We do it best we can, Father God, for your glory. And Father God, nothing's too difficult for you, Lord God. So please help us going forward that we continue to do that, what we're called to do. And we ask you, Lord, to anoint Rob's mind, heart, and tongue as the word goes through him in the message today, like rivers of living water, that we would receive everything we need to receive, Lord. So we ask this, Father God, in your precious name, and we also lift up Dave, too, as he's doing community meditation, that as you work through him, and I know he's prepared also, Father God, so we receive from that also what we need to hear, going forth to those highways and byways from Rob and Dave. So we spent time with you, and I know being anxious enough, but I'm anxious to receive, because those type of things, you know, those little nuggets that we receive from teachings up here, but teachings that we grasp and we can go share with other people, workplaces, on the highways, byways, everywhere, Father God, where we step, we say, we claim that in Jesus' name, and Father God, we're so thankful. Opportunities are coming, and Father God, instill those things, it's a way of life, yes, continue, always read, always pray. We need to communicate first of all, because if we get issues with the Lord, we need to talk with you, Lord God, daily. And we need to pray. And the effectual, firm prayer, righteous man does avail much. And we're thankful for people as we go forth. Prayer chain, continue to pray. And Kathy, continue to lift them up, Father God. As Jim lifts up with us in the prayer area, that they need continued prayer. And I know, you know, Kathy and Matthew, they're praying every day. So we continue as we back them up. Father God, that's what they're looking. They're going to sense that too. So that keeps them going. And Father God, you want that. You want your saints to do those type of things. Edify one another up. Keep things close, nearby one another. And the thing is, do this work together. Be in unity. So we ask all these things in your precious name today. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
A while that I was going to be preaching today, a few months, and I knew the message roughly that the Lord wanted me to bring, but in studying it and meditating on it and praying about it over weeks and weeks, it took a while for it to kind of gel and come together. Rick Rounds, Tom, and David he's not in here. But I want to thank you all for the encouraging, convicting, and strong words that you've brought over the last few weeks. Independently, you each brought a word one week after the other that confirmed and reinforced the others. And I know that the Lord is moving mightily in this body, and his word confirms it time and again. And we've seen it lately in the way that just things have been coming together. I praise God for the way that he's working. While I'm on the subject of thanking people, and David's not in here, I want to acknowledge, and I fell short of doing it last week, it just slipped my mind, but David and Joe put together a ramp for Guy in his need. Nobody asked them to. Nobody made it a big deal, but they set aside their needs. I know David moved doctor's appointments around, and they got it together and put it together and made Guy a strong ramp to get him into his house. And it's the type of work that we need to be doing as a body. And it was really encouraging to see them just do it. Without asking, just knowing a need, being led to do it. And I want to thank you both. And I'll tell David later because he's not in here. But thank you both for stepping up and doing that. I wanted to acknowledge you. Amen. Please turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. We're going to start at verse 14. It's Matthew 25, verse 14, and we'll read to 29. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them, and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more besides. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I love the parables of Jesus. I really do. There are so many ways to apply and interpret Scripture, so many nuanced aspects of the Word of God as we study it out. But parables specifically just seem to have layer after layer of meaning. The more you meditate on them. There's one aspect to the parable that I want to speak about today, and that is investment. God's investment in each one of us. Here's the thing. Our salvation is a gift beyond words. It is an act of grace and favor we could never earn or deserve. It is not just a free pass into heaven. Some of you may not agree with me, but I read in the Word time and again that God expects something from us while we are here. Verse 1 of our parable says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants to him and delivered his goods to them." We are called according to his purpose, and he entrusts us each with a piece of his kingdom. Romans 12, 3 through 8 talks about how to each is given a measure of faith, and we are to use what is given to us in the capacity that God has granted it or entrusted it to us to further his kingdom. Do we fully understand that all we have is only entrusted to us from God? It's not ours. The very breath in our lungs is to be used for his purposes. All is from him. All is to him. It all goes back. Do we understand that we are not intended to be working for ourselves? We're not working for a paycheck. We're working for our Lord and Savior. In all we do, this is not a religion separate from family, separate from work. It is not a world religion. This is something that is to cover our entire lives. The ironic contrast to that is that everything God does is for our gain. Please don't misunderstand me as I get into this message. I am not preaching works righteousness here. What I'm preaching is justification and sanctification. Can anyone tell me where I might go next? Anyone have an idea? We'll go to James chapter 2. And we're going to read from verse 14 to 26. James chapter 2, starting at verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, "Depart in peace, be warmed and filled," but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Can you imagine that for a second? I want to stop here. If somebody were to walk in off the street right now, barely clothed, cold, or it's summer, whatever, exposed to the elements, hungry, and they come in these doors seeking sustenance, and we say, "God is with you. Be filled. Be protected. You're okay. God's got this." And we send them on their way. Without bread from the bread ministry, without food from our free shelf, what good does that do them? We haven't served them in that. Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works." You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Belief in God is not the same as relationship with him. It is not the same as giving your life for him. Is this okay today?
Okay.
But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? In Genesis 22:9-12, we read how Abraham was taking the knife up and about to slay Isaac. And God stopped him and said, "Now I know you fear God. It was a work that justified the faith that Abraham had in him after the covenant with him was established. Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by his works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. In the parable, the master came back to settle accounts with his servants. This work was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? Does everybody remember the story of Rahab?
Yep.
Joshua sent men to spy out Jericho, and they had already heard of them. The woman had heard of everything the Lord had done, and when guards came looking for them, she hid them away. And then she said, remember me and my family. It was that hiding them away, that protecting them, that justified her faith in the Lord. For as the body without the spirit is dead, we all have the breath of life in us. And thank the Lord that we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. So faith without works is dead also. David, in his message a few weeks ago, spoke of holiness. And I remember him saying that if you're sitting still, you're going backwards. If you have faith and yet you sit on it, bury it in the dirt, and you're doing nothing with it, I believe that's enough. Your faith is dying. The master in the parable of the talents entrusted something to each of his servants before he departed. As Romans 12 said, he gave them a measure. He knew their ability and distributed to each one accordingly a measure of currency to steward in his absence. He was investing in them, investing in their talents, investing in what he knew they could do. While the master was gone, two of the servants went out and worked. You could say they even risked what the master had entrusted to them. They went out and bought and sold with it and exchanged it. They might not have gotten it back. They put things at risk. After working diligently and faithfully, the master returned to get an accounting of what they had done with what they were given. The two servants who worked were rewarded, and they were rewarded the same, not based on how much they earned, but because of the effort they put in, they were told they had done well. The last servant was cast out, not because he didn't have something in his possession when the master returned, but because there was no work or effort put into what he was entrusted with. Not only did he not truly know and love his master, he says, Master, I knew you to be a hard man. I believe the other two servants knew him to be a loving and faithful master. Not only did he not truly know his love and love his master, but he allowed fear to dictate his actions rather than love. The first two servants loved their master and wanted to please him. The third thought nothing of pleasing his master, but only hiding away what he had been given in the hopes that it would be enough later. He was called lazy and wicked. You may say that the third servant wasn't given much to begin with. After all, he was given only one talent. It's kind of a raw deal, right? You can do a lot more with five talents than you can do with one, right? But does anyone know how much a talent is worth in today's money? You cheated. It's as much as $1 million.
Wow.
One talent is as much as $1 million. Whether you are given more than less than another in faith is irrelevant. Our Lord is not stingy. He blesses us abundantly, and he equips us with everything we need to do the work he has set before us. So what has God invested in you? What is the return that he is looking for? There are two answers, I think, that have stirred me the most. First, think back again to David's sermon on holiness. God wants to see growth in us individually. He wants to see us putting the work in to reflect on ourselves and dig deep and find what it is we need to grow in his word. Study to show yourselves approved unto the Lord. We are responsible for studying his word, applying it, and living it out. Second, as David said today, God bought and paid for you with a price. It cost him something. It cost him his life. It cost him his blood. He poured out everything for us. And he still does. He's interceding for us constantly at the Father's throne. Tom said in his message to focus on Jesus and remember all that he endured. To keep that in our minds. As soon as you enter, even after making a way for us to be reconciled to himself, that is just the opening of the door. As soon as you enter into his kingdom, you are entrusted with his Holy Spirit, a measure of faith, fruit of the Spirit that needs to be grown and cultivated, and gifts. God gives each of us gifts, unique gifts that suit your personality, gifts that God wants to use you in. It is up to you to steward your talents and bring an increase. But how do you make more of these things? Well, technically, you don't. But the Holy Spirit of God works with us, partners with us, to do the work the Father has set before us. We must go out onto the battlefield. Where is the battlefield? Is it here?
No.
This is our camp. This is where we get armed up. The battlefield is right out here. It's right outside these doors. We have to reach the lost. That, I believe, is the increase that God is looking for. The most important words that a person can share are usually their departing or dying words. And Jesus' departing words were, go, make disciples of all nations, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, make disciples of all nations. It is the Great Commission. Think back to the parable. What is the last thing that our Master, the Lord Jesus, said here? Oh, I already skipped that. I did it on my own. When you give an accounting, will there be an increase? We cannot hide away what has been entrusted to us. We must go out and risk it. We cannot allow fear to keep us from sharing what we have been given so freely. It is a war zone. It is a battle. But we are equipped for every good work. I have a little story to share and then we'll close. When I was a corrections officer, obviously I had to respond to a lot of violent situations. And we were trained not to get hands-on unless we had appropriate backup and we were directed to do so if another officer wasn't already involved. You know, if it's an attack on an officer, there we are. But if I respond to a fight, inmate versus inmate, I don't touch them, I don't get involved until I have backup and we're safe to do so. I remember one day I had to use the restroom and we wore these BDU tops and they're big and baggy and they're made for moving and but they kind of get in the way, so we take them off and hang them up and we take off our duty belts. And I was coming out of the restroom and I put my duty belt back on and a call comes over the radio that there's a fight in the unit right next door to mine. So I'm on one side and I have to run to the other. It's a little hallway. And so I ran over through the door of the unit. And as I'm running into the unit where the fight is, I see one officer behind the desk, another officer around the end of the desk where he's supposed to be waiting for backup like myself. And then the two inmates that are fighting right in front of the officer station, which was unusual. They're right there. Usually they're way off in the back or something, back of the unit. And so I ran in and I ran around the desk and I ran towards the inmates shouting for them to break up the fight. And I, you know, you've all heard me yell. It was pretty loud. So I got their attention. And I remember that they stopped like mid-punch and looked at me and just completely wide-eyed. And whatever they were fighting about ceased to exist. It didn't matter. They both turned around and put their hands behind their back and separated. Like, there was no, they didn't usually, that was very unusual. I'd never seen it. So I walk up to one, and the officer that was already standing there walks up to the other, and we put them in handcuffs, and we're turning around, and then backup is coming in. 20 guys all ready to handle whatever situation it is, and it's over. And it didn't dawn on me until later what had happened and why they broke up like that. But at the time, I had been training in several self-defense techniques, one of which is called Kali. It's a martial art that specializes in hand-to-hand combat, especially with weapons. Armed versus unarmed techniques, which come in handy in that environment. And my uncle had given me a t-shirt from his dojo. He's an MMA trainer, used to be a Brazilian jiu-jitsu guy, and Kenpo karate and all. Anyway, he gave me a t-shirt that on the back said LaBelle's Rogue Warrior Mixed Martial Arts. And on the front of the shirt, it said, Brace for Impact, in big, bold letters. Black shirt, white letters. It just so happened that the day that I stepped out of the bathroom with my BDU top off, that I was wearing that shirt. And so as I ran towards these inmates and yelled really loudly, they saw me and I saw Brace for Impact emblazoned across my chest. And it was one of them that later told me, yeah, I didn't want any piece of that. You're a freight train. And but I had run into that unit trained. I knew what to do in every circumstance. I was ready to jump into action. I had fully prepared for whatever fight I had to face, knowing that I had backup on the way. Even if something required my immediate attention, I knew I had that backup. The men coming were men that I had trusted with my life over and over again, and they had trusted me with theirs. And even though I was fully prepared, it wasn't my preparation that stopped that fight. I shouted a command. I shouted a battle cry. I ran toward the fight, not worrying for my own safety. And I had a bold warning stamped across my chest that said, Brace for Impact. This body, and this body has been under attack, heavy attack. Amen. We've been defensive, I think, for too long. We're here being equipped. We're ready. We're trained. And we need to know that God is our backup in every circumstance. So I think it's time that we run towards the fight. We run towards the fight with a battle cry, telling the enemy, emblazoned across our chest with the armor of God equipped to brace for impact. To do that, we all need to be prepared, and this body is prepared. I fully believe that. We need to have the mindset to face the fight. We must trust God with our lives and know that He is our strength and He is our backup. He has given us every tool we need to succeed and arrest the enemy. The gates of hell are open for us to plunder the gates of hell, for us to plunder hell. Let's bring an increase to His kingdom so that as one body, we can give an accounting. Next Sunday, boot or no boot, I'm setting up the evangelism outreach again. I'm going to go out and share the gospel, on crutches or not. I am believing God for not. I am not going to allow physical disability or fear to deter me. I am not going to hide away that which has been entrusted to me. I am going to use what my Master, my God, has given me, and I am going to trust the Holy Spirit to bring an increase. I'm asking you to join me, and let's give an accounting together. Thank you all. God bless you. I love you. Lord, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Father, that you have prepared us, Lord, and we thank you that we are equipped and able to do your work, Lord, and that you work through us each and every day, Father. We praise you for your goodness and your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace. Lord, we ask that you just help us, Lord, to bring an increase to your kingdom. Help us, Lord, to stay focused on you and to work for you. In Jesus' name. Amen.